but don't touch him. And you realize that Satan left the presence of the Lord. Earthquakes, winds, storms, thieves are all connected. I don't mean every thief or every storm is the devil, but the devil uses some of the elements to try to destroy the Christian. Hallelujah. So God's hedge of protection is very, very important. And then after that, God said, you know what? You've come back. You see, Job didn't curse you at all. Curse me. Now, Satan said, if you like, give him me his body and see what will happen. And God said, touch everything about him. Give him anything you want, but don't touch his life. And Satan, when he left the presence of God, boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, or the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. He was struck with boils. It could have been a tumor. But the life was not touched. That's why you can many years ago, but he's still alive. Hallelujah. So you can see that you can have a disease because that hedge, well, not you, but someone can have a disease, and that because that hedge has been taken away, but the life will be spared and God will restore the person back to health. Hallelujah. So it's very, very, very important. How many are getting what I'm saying? So those are all part of the world, but the only thing that overcomes all these things is faith. Our faith gives us victory over the world. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Faith is what gives you and I total, complete victory over the world. Amen. So it means that you and I must develop our faith. Look also at Ephesians chapter 6. This is not my message. I'll start my message after this short, important introduction.
Amen.
Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your pastor's might. It means you have authority yourself to cast out demons, to overcome the power of the devil, to overcome any witchcraft power, to overcome any power. You have that authority. You and I have been given authority. The Bible didn't say, I give the pastors. No, he says, I give you the Christian. The smallest Christian, the baby Christian has authority over all the power of the devil. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I remember preaching on the believer's authority. A lady had a lamp and she confessed after I preached the believer's authority and the lamp disappeared. No pastor prayed for her. Mm-hmm. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the methods, methodia, schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, when you look at the margins, or you look at another verse, look at NLT for high places, it's in the heavenly realms. So we are wrestling in the heavenly realms. We are not wrestling on earth. We are wrestling with entities in the heavenly realms. Because when we pray, our prayer is going into the heavens. Hallelujah. Prayer is actually having intergalactic battles. Galaxies. Meaning that they are spiritual beings. They are angels. If you remember, the prince of Persia, the angel, coming to give the message in the heavens. Not in the heavens of heavens, the third heavens, but in the atmosphere, the heavens. As the angel was coming to give the answer to Daniel, the prince of Persia withstood him. But you realize that it was connected to prayer. Anytime we pray, there are battles that occur. Anytime you're having spiritual warfare, angels are dispatched. We don't dispatch any angel. The prayer itself, God would organize all that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
No one is to have anything to do with angels. We have angels, but we leave God to deal with it. That's why Jesus said, do you not know that if I could, pray my Father to send 12 legions of angels? He didn't say, I mean, even though he has the power, he's the creator, but he gave us a principle that we need to pray to God and he would handle the rest. Hallelujah. But we are fighting, you see, heavenly realms. We are fighting with evil, wicked spirits that hate us. Demons and evil spirits and fallen angels, they hate us. Why do they hate us? They are hate, number one. Why do they hate us? Because we are the object of God's love and affection. And if you and I are the object of God's affection and they know they are doomed, then they want to take as many of God's love creatures with them to burn also with them, because they know they are doomed. There's no hope for them. Hallelujah. So we are fighting these wicked entities. So the Bible is saying that we are wrestling. We are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those whose mighty powers of darkness, or against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Go back to King James. So you see that the order we are fighting, principalities govern areas, regions. You have principality of certain sins. You have in Amsterdam, you have certain principalities there. You have certain principalities in America. You have certain principalities in the war-torn zones, different principalities. Hallelujah. When you read Revelation, you can see how that is possible, how angels are there and have certain assignments, and also evil beings also have certain assignments to cause problems. And then under them are the powers that exert influence, cause people to be addicted and have all sorts of controls over people and over things. And then we have the foot soldiers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, who go about doing the work of the principalities and the demonic hordes. Terrible things going on, but you and I are more than conquerors. But we need to know you are in a war. If you are in a war and you don't know you are in a war, you've lost half the battle. Because at least if you know you are in a war, you have your guns ready. Or you would have your shield and your sword. But if you don't know you are in a war, you'll be walking around. You'll be walking around. Hi, hi, walking around. Hey, hey, having fun, enjoying. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, yeah. You should also be doing the work you are enjoying. Oh, yes, oh, yes, sorry. Oh, yes, oh, yes. But asomwa, not knowing, there are guns pointed at you. And you don't know. And you don't know. You can put your hands together for her. You don't know that there are guns pointed at you, that there are arrows pointed at you. But you and I need to know so we can have our shield ready. Yes. Look at the next verse. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day could be a time when you cannot work, or you cannot do what you can do, or a trial comes, or a difficulty comes. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. So it doesn't mean the righteous will go through no problem. But the Lord delivered them. Glory out of them all. Next verse. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the belt of truth. We'll talk about the armor of God another time. I preached like 3-4 months on just the armor of God. Very, very powerful. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench most of the fiery darts of the wicked. No, all. Any single thing Satan can bring my way and your way, the shield of faith will be able to distinguish, quench all the fiery darts. Now, when you look at this William Wallace, this Braveheart, and some of these old movies, I would watch which? Joan of Arc, some of these kind of movies, 300. You see that the enemy might have arrows with oil and whatever, and flaming arrows. Now, if you have a wooden shield, you go down most likely. It will burn it and burn you with it. But when you have a metal strong shield, it will just deflect it and fall off. That's right. So most people have weak shields, wooden shields. But when you and I have the armor of God and we have the shield of faith, that shield of faith is the strongest shield that will be able to deflect every single fiery dart of the devil. Every single fiery dart of the devil. Every single fiery dart. It means that no matter what Satan comes, brings our way, if we have the shield of faith, we overcome. Now, when I preach one day, God willing, on the armor of God, you realize that the whole armor are just different applications of the word of God. different applications. The helmet of salvation means that you need to read the word, know your of salvation, knowing that God will come one day, and that is because I've read the word and I have confidence in the word that God will come one day. Now, your belt of truth, it means that you must know the truth of God's word, because knowing the truth of God's word will secure you and not cause you to be exposed. Like if your belt is off and your trousers fall down, you are exposed. In the same way, you can be exposed by the devil. I'm just giving you a quick summary. Now, the shield of faith means that an enemy comes or a trial comes, in the name of Jesus Christ, I use the word of God, then you use the word of God to fight the devil with the shield of with the sword of the Spirit. Now, the shield of faith blocks. So I'm afraid. Now, the Bible says that so it blocks that thing, and I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to allow what the devil brings my way to cause me to fear and to succumb. So I'm going to stand my ground with the shield of faith. Peace I leave with you, John 14, 27. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. It blocks whatever the devil comes brings your way. Now, later on, you'll hear about the sword of the Spirit. Look at the next verse, the next two verses. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. The word says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God shall not give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. And I use this word and I reject it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll talk about it later on. So the armor of God is just different applications of the word of God. But what I wanted us to get to was the fight we are fighting, and then also we are wrestling against flesh and blood. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, and the fact that we have a shield of faith, and we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the only offensive weapon, the weapon that you can use to attack the devil. You can also use your shield, because how many have seen people fight with their shields? Yes. So the shield blocks, and you can use your shield, but the sword is the weapon that you can use to attack the devil. How many get what I'm saying? Very, very important that we remember to put the whole armor of God on. I'll preach on that one of these days. Hallelujah. Today I want to share with us something very important on strategies for prayer. Strategies. Someone will say, strategies. Do I need strategies to talk to my Father in heaven? Ah, let it come. My daughter. Well, if the Father is mean, you need strategies. If the Father is wicked or he's a bully, you need strategies, because you need to know how to talk to him. You need to know what to say. But our Heavenly Father, he's a love God. He loves us. The Bible says, if God did not spare his own son, Romans 8, look at 31. He did not spare his own son, but gave up his son for you and I. Why would he not with his son freely give us all things? So we have a loving God. He's the Father of mercies. He's the good God. So we don't need strategies to talk to him. Okay, continue. He that spared, I think it's verse 32. Keep going till you get to the verse. Hallelujah. Yes, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with his son freely give us all things? Now, do you need strategies to talk to me? Unless you want something that I'm not planning to give you, then you need to have strategies on ways to say it. Is that correct?
Yes.
But in general, do you need to think about plans and steps to talk to me?
No.
But if you are in warfare, you need strategies. Glory.
That's right.
You can put your hands together for the Lord and you can take a seat. If you are in warfare, you need strategies for warfare.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, even to speak to your Heavenly Father, imagine there is someone who is blocking your way, who is telling you negative things about your Father. Come back again. Let's assume someone is always telling you negative things about me and tells you that you have no access to me. Maybe you did not do your chores and I was angry with you. And then a visitor tells you that, look, your father, if you talk to him, you'll be very angry. You need strategies to overcome that enemy who is in the house, who is trying to block your way, who is trying to prevent you from talking to your father. You need strategies for that. Because, ladies and gentlemen, how many of us pray for an hour a day? Yes, some will pray. I also pray for over an hour a day. Hallelujah. But you need strategies for that. It's through the strategies that we can pray for an hour a day. Some can pray for much longer. But many people are not able to even pray for 20 minutes a day because they don't have strategies. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. Strategies for prayer. Very good. Thank God at least it's not just me. We must be able to pray. Jesus said, could you not wait for 1 hour? 1 hour. Someone will say, I'm very, very busy. Oh. Pastor, you don't understand how busy I am. Let's find out. Pastor, I'm busy. Daniel was busier than all of us. You don't understand, though. I've got work. I've got this. I've got church. I've got to sort a few things out. I've got this. Look, all those things don't mean anything because God has his way. You can still do all you do. You can still work as hard as you work and still find time for God. Amen. You just need to cut out the unnecessary things, or you need to rank God. Proton, prioritize God, rank God first. What do I mean by that? You might have the whole day, work very hard, and have 2 hours left or 3 hours left in the day. You can cut sleep slightly or cut out certain things and make sure you keep your 1 hour with God. You can. There's a way. Everyone has 24 hours. I'm tired, we understand. But everyone can pray. Because whilst men slept, the devil came to sow tares. Whilst men slept. The devil is not going to say, okay, this person is very busy. We understand how busy they are. We know they have no choice but to be busy. So I'm going to spare them. The devil is going to say, you are meat. Easy target. You and I have to pray. You and I have to pray. I remember... You can put your hands together for the Lord. I remember in the past, now, honestly speaking, now coffee, when I drink coffee, it doesn't do anything for me. It's water. It doesn't keep me up. It doesn't stimulate. It doesn't do anything for me. I now take it as recreation, just drink it because I'm drinking coffee. Why? Because there was a time that I drank coffee to stay up to pray many times and stopped, so I had to use other strategies. But you are busy, you work, family, your church, and all that. So coffee was no more the problem. I mean, I had to use something else. So now coffee, I don't know what, I can take as much coffee as I need. And it's not going to do anything. Hallelujah. Because I need strategies. You and I need strategies for prayer. Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. They wanted to trap Daniel, his enemies. So they told the king that for 3 days or for a period, let no one pray to anyone or ask any petition except for you. Otherwise, they'll be thrown into the furnace of to the den of lions. And Daniel knew it and knew that his end was there. His end, it was over for him. What did Daniel do? Daniel said, you know what? It's the Lord who brought me here and it's the Lord who will keep me here. He opened his windows towards Jerusalem. In those days, you open your window towards Jerusalem and you pray towards Jerusalem. Now, we can pray anywhere we want. Hallelujah. We have Christ in us. Amen. So, I don't know where this is coming from. Hallelujah. So, you realize that Daniel knew the importance of prayer. Now, a history of Daniel. Daniel was a captive of Judah. He was most likely from one of the royal families, very prominent family in Jerusalem. So when Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, he destroyed it and took the vessels from the temple. Hallelujah. And put it in some storehouse in a very precious place. Hallelujah. and decided to train some of them in the languages and the universities of the Chaldeans or whatever. And after that, he would make them eunuchs. Hallelujah. Where they'll be able to, you know what eunuchs did? They were trusted. They couldn't have an heir. So they were castrated and could not have an heir. So no matter what they did, they knew that those eunuchs would not be able to bring forth a seed to fight against the king. Hallelujah. So Daniel became one of those eunuchs. Hallelujah. And this guy is making it tough, but God will see us. Very, very important. Hallelujah. Then God gave Daniel skill. God gave Daniel wisdom. Now, it came to pass that the king wanted some of the nobles and some of the people who had been trained to be eaten of defiled meat, the meat sacrificed to idols and different, do sort of certain rituals. Please do this for me. I serve the mighty God, and I don't want to be defiled by the things you are giving. Can I eat certain things just for a short time, and then you look at my countenance and compare me? When he did that, he realized that what did I say? Do not compromise your Christian standards. No matter what you do, stay true to God. Amen. So Daniel stayed true to God, and he became the best. He and the three Hebrew boys became the best. They were God made Daniel second in command to the Babylonian Empire, which was the first world empire. The first world empire was the Babylonian Empire. And all this is in the book of Daniel. Hallelujah. I also preach on 21 reasons why you must not be left behind from the book of Daniel. So Daniel became second in command in the Babylonian Empire. Then after Nebuchadnezzar died or finished his reign, then his grandson Belshazzar took over. Now Belshazzar, at that time Daniel was just a normal guy. After he reigned under Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Belshazzar was not wise because as he was enjoying in a ladies around who were drinking and were having fun, then he said, you know what, bring the vessels in from the temple, bring the vessels that were in the holy place, the sacred vessels, the holy vessels. Never touch holy things. What did I say? Never touch holy things. So as they began to drink, then there was a writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel. There was a writing on the wall. And then no one knew the writing. And the king was disturbed because the way a hand was writing, but they couldn't see the hand, the way it was being written, it was very scary. So the king asked, who can answer it? Who can tell me what this means? He called all his magicians, all his astrologers, and none of them were able to answer. And then his wife or one of the ladies said, you know what? There is someone who served your father, who was second in command under the Babylonian Empire. This was still the Babylonian Empire. He will be able to answer it. So Daniel was called in. And the king said, if you give me the interpretation, I'll give you gold, I'll give you riches. Wow. Daniel said, I'm not interested in your money. Never buy or never force for a gift. Never require a gift. Never require money for the gift of God. Amen. That's why we don't pay people to play keyboard. Why? Then we must pay the singers. We must pay everyone. We must pay the technical team also. Why should we pay people to play the keyboard? Unless it's your full-time job, then you need to be paid. That's right. If it's a full-time job, we need full-time people who can do it so that they can learn and be skilled. But if you are working, you are in school, you have your daily income, it's different if the pastor says, you know what, let me bless you. But don't require money to play the keyboard. Right. Don't require money to do anything in the house of God. Most of the time when I go and preach someone, they want to give me money, I say, I don't want any money. Thank you. God bless you. It's a privilege to say, talk to God's people. I don't need money. And give that reward to another. But I'll tell you the interpretation. So Daniel told him the interpretation. Daniel 5, 7, 18. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. It was God who did all that. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. He was insane. And his dwelling was wet with the dew of heaven. Imagine the king, the great king. Till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Though thou knowest all this, he knew, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drank wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whom... whose hand thy breath is, you and I must realize it. Don't be proud before God. Our breath is has thou not glorified? Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, many, many tekel of our sin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Hey. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. May none of us be weighed in the balances and found wanting. May none of us be our days be finished. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, before we continue, the Medes and the Persians. Now, history says that as after this, Persians joined together, climbed over the wall, and took over Babylon. That to form the Medo-Persian Empire, Cyrus the Great. Hallelujah. Took over and finished them off. Now, when we pray, do you know that the prince of Persia and then the Persian Empire came? Now, I must go. The Third World Empire . Now, when we talk about Daniel, you see that Daniel, the book of Daniel, is so historically accurate that there was a prediction in the book of Daniel about the four wings. Do you know that Alexander the Great, when he died, the kingdom was each general took a kingdom, one of the four. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was divided into four. Every president, already things have been dealt with in the spirit, and they've come. What's his name? Donald Trump, God put him there. The next president that comes, God put him there. No one can become president without God putting him there. Or at least God allowing it. It's the same thing. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. That was it. And then he became second in command after this. Now, if you think about it, Daniel was set second in command in the Babylonians. When the Persians come and take over, aren't they killing the high officials? Yeah. But Daniel was not killed. But Garabus or Cyrus the Great or great, because he was the great Persian. Now, Cyrus the Great had favor with Daniel, or Daniel had favor with him. Do you know that the whole province of the Persian Empire, there were 120 princes, no, so far, 120, and then there were three presidents, or three people who governed the 120 princes, and Daniel was first. The one who was there from exile to second in command. Now, why was he favored? He was an older man by then. Why was he so favored? Because he was a man of prayer. Why was he so great? No matter the regime, no matter the president, no matter the political party, it's because he was a man of prayer. How many are getting me so far? Daniel, then this Daniel, if I let's, very good, verse 1, let's, Daniel 6, 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account of unto them, and the king should have no damage. So many Christians must realize that prayer is important. When you pray, wow, my time is up. When you pray, ladies and gentlemen, realms by prayer. That's what the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And it goes on to say, in heavenly places. When you and I are praying, we are throne room of God. We are actually fighting, hallelujah, when we are praying, we are before they are manifested in the physical. So if you and I are able by Ahab, before the war he was dead, King Ahab, heaven, whilst Ahab was eating chicken by then, he was eating chicken. God said in heaven, who shall I persuade to cause Ahab to fall? Then a spirit said, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. And God said, okay, go. It's very wild. I'm sure one of these days we'll talk about some of these things. Hallelujah. Go. And then the whole story, just take it that Ahab died. Now, what happened? As Ahab was eating the chicken, he was dead. Because God had already said that he's going to fall. Before Cyrus the Great or Darius came to take over the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire took over, Belshazzar was already gone. What am I saying? You and I, instead of dealing with problems before we pray, pray and solve the problem in the heavenly realms before you deal with it physically. Amen. Hallelujah. Solve the problem. As soon as you experience a problem or you experience an issue or you realize that there is something not right, start to pray. So that by the time the problem comes, it's been solved already. because you are speaking mysteries and prayer and solutions. Hallelujah. We are talking about tongues and some of those things on Wednesday. Hallelujah. That's another level. Albeit in the spirit, he speaketh what? Mysteries, solutions. So ladies and gentlemen, I would prefer to get answers before the problem comes. I would prefer to deal with problems in the heavens before I need to deal with them on earth, or before they come to the earth. Hallelujah. So prayer is very important. You and I must pray. This guy is making it tough. By God's grace, yeah. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, prayer works.
Amen.
Prayer works.
Hallelujah.
I've been with different people, and we've believed God for so many things, and sometimes they didn't get it. And at a point, they'll be discouraged.
Wow.
And I've heard people say, what's the point of praying? No, I'm not going to bother praying. A pastor's wife. Oh, but all of us can get to that point. It's not difficult to get to that point, but you just have to tell yourself that, look, rejoice, not my enemy. It didn't work this time, but I'm strong. I'm coming strong. Yeah. Yeah. The faith, Lucy, the kind of faith we had, the kind of faith we had for a particular situation. This was looking for a child.
Wow.
A particular pastors were looking for a child. Every time the child will die, it will not work. Now, when those times we're having conventions, in the past you pray, she'll come for one of the first to the prayer line. Anyone who needs a miracle, come. She'll be the first to come. At a point, I have to call her because she's not coming. She said, what's the point of coming? There's no point in coming for prayer. It's not going to work. I'll stop praying until one day God just touched her and gave her a miracle. That the doctors, when she went to the doctors, the doctor said, which doctor did you go to? Which IVF? She said, I didn't take any IVF.
Wow.
And it was impossible with the doctors.
Wow.
There are many examples like that. So a time comes where it looks like God doesn't make sense. Who wrote it? Was it Charles Stanley? One of these people wrote a book that when God does not make sense. It comes to a point where you feel that way, but you and I must be encouraged and know that, look, the God we serve, he's faithful.
Yes.
There was a time I was sitting, she was sitting here, right, somewhere here, and I asked, I was preaching, I asked a question, if you had to do it all over again, because she used to cry and say that, look, I want the baby now. And then I'll say that, you know what, maybe God is encouraging you. I give her scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, God will comfort you. What is this? Other people were sleeping around, blah, blah, blah. And look at what's happening. Now, when I asked her, it's a valid question. No? I asked her after, when she had it, I think two then, if you had to do it all over again, would you have wanted their babies earlier? She said, no, this was God's timing was just right. Usually when we are in the problem, we don't understand it. But when God has taken us out of the problem, we are always appreciative and we will not want it any other way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Prayer works.
Amen.
Prayer works. Prayer works. I'm not out of word. I'm just out of time. Shall we stand to our feet? We'll continue next week, God willing. Strategies
Hallelujah.
For prayer.
Amen.
Oh, let's speak to Jesus and tell him that he must give us the hearts to pray,
to pray.
We must be people of prayer. That we should pray for at least 1 hour a day. At least an hour a day. At least an hour a day. Oh, yes. Prayer is very important. It sustains the blessings of God. Prayer secures the blessings of God. Psalm 91 says that he will set us securely on high. When we pray and we are consistent in prayer, we are secure. It secures our blessings. It secures us. It puts us at a different level. Men ought always to pray and never give up. You and I must never give up on prayer. The one who answers prayer in Luke chapter 18. Look at Luke 18, 1. The one who answers prayer. The one who answers prayer, the one who's going to give you the prayer, who's going to give you the answer. He is saying, he's giving a parable to encourage us to pray and not give up. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, 1. Pray, speak to God to give you the heart of prayer. The heart to pray. Never give up on prayer. Never give up on prayer. Oh God, we bless you. We bless your name. We bless your name. Oh Jesus, we bless you. Oh Jesus, we glorify thy name. Oh yes. Just a few minutes. Ask him. Speak to him. Oh, we worship you. We magnify thy name. We glorify thy name. Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, we bless you. Now, as we are praying, if you are here or you are watching and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you know that you are far away from God, you know in your heart that you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know in your heart that you are not born again or you have not given your heart and life to Jesus. And you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want Jesus. I want to surrender to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone who wants to say, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me, Pastor. I want Jesus. I don't know Jesus. I want Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my heart. Let's repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you.
I come to you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus
Christ.
I confess
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ.
I believe
that
he died on the cross.
And he died on the cross.
For my